Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we feature an actor whose character was named for the sponsor, although one of his recurring gags is that he doesn't know the show is sponsored by Texaco. Ed Wynn was a popular comedian, a star of the Ziegfeld Follies, and a creator of shows he starred in on Broadway, including one that gave him another nickname, the 1921 show The Perfect Fool. Wynn was a great hit on radio and later acted in many movies. You may remember him as Uncle Albert in Mary Poppins, singing, "I love to laugh." His contagious laugh made his comedy a hit on radio, and we have two shows for you this week. This one is Ed Wynn as the Texaco Fire Chief, first broadcast March 26, 1935 on NBC.
For speed, power, action, Texaco Fire Chief, the gasoline that's bought by more tourists than any other brand. For a sweeter running engine, crack-proof Texaco, the motor oil that lasts longer and saves you money. Texaco service stations and dealers in all our 48 states present for your entertainment Eddie Duchin and his music. Graham McNamee. And Ed Wynn, the fire chief.
I'm the chief, Graham. Tonight the program's going to be different.
Well, chief, tell me, how are things down on the farm?
Graham, I'm experimenting on the farm with my pet.
You are?
I'm experimenting.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to cross a chicken with a stopwatch.
What for?
I don't know. I hope that she lays 3-minute eggs. I don't know how good
I see.
Say, Graham, do you want to hear a silly thing?
I certainly do.
Well, one of my hens was roosting high up, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she dropped an egg on the head of a chicken right under her.
Yes?
Uh-huh. And she hit this chicken right in the head. Tough chicken it was, you know.
Yeah.
Then the hen dropped another egg on her head.
A second egg.
What do you think the chicken said?
What do you say?
The chicken egg yelled up, said, "If you don't want to get in trouble, you better lay off me." Hey, Graham.
Yes.
You know, I'm getting so interested in pets.
Yeah.
Oh, I love those different birds and things, you know.
Yes, I know you do.
I've got a new parrot. Everyone thinks that she's profane.
She's not, though.
Oh, no, she doesn't swear. That parrot doesn't swear, Graham.
How do you make
that
out?
Well, she does. She's just trying to say hello, but she can't get past the first syllable.
I'm kidding.
Say, Graham.
Yes.
Here is the darndest thing you ever heard.
Graham, what is it?
This is the darndest thing you ever heard.
What is it? Tell me.
I'm so wrought up, you know. My stork has gone on a strike.
No.
Yes, sir. The stork said that she will never carry another baby named Paul.
Paul? I can't understand that, Chief.
I don't know. She said she doesn't want to be a pallbearer. That's all I know. But, Graham,
yes.
Here's an interesting thing. I've got a wayward kitten.
You have?
Think of that. A wayward kitten.
Yes.
Isn't that remarkable?
Well, how is he wayward?
Well, I know he's a tough egg.
Yeah, I see.
He came home awful late last night. His mother gave him the dickens. What do you think the little cat said?
What did he say?
He says, "For heaven's sake, Mom, can I lead just one of my own lives?"
That's reasonable.
Graham, my pet kangaroo just got back from Florida. She's awfully tired.
She
didn't know why, you know, until she looked in her pouch. What do you think she found?
What was there?
She found she'd been carrying 2 stowaways all over the place. My aunt hates kangaroos, you know.
Oh, say, how is that aunt of yours?
Oh, she's a mess, Graham.
I guess she is.
I'm sorry I mentioned her.
Yeah.
I took her into a dress shop the other day, you know.
Yeah.
And the sales lady said to my aunt, "Would you like to try that dress on in the window?"
What'd your aunt
say? My aunt said, "All right, but I'd rather do it back in the store."
Thank you.
kind is it, Chief?
Well, I don't know. He calls it baby.
Why is that?
I don't know. It won't go any place without a rattle.
I don't know. Chief, I have a tip I'd like to pass along to all motorists tonight.
What's that, Graham?
If you want to drive a livelier, faster car this spring and summer, stop regularly for Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline.
Oh, I didn't. That's all right. I was listening there like a darn fool. I was listening.
You should.
I hate automobiles, Graham.
Oh, you...
I do. They make people silly, I think.
They do?
I think so.
How's that?
My aunt was out driving Sunday. A policeman hollered at her and he said, "Hey! Said, don't you pay any attention to those red and green lights?"
Yeah? What happened?
My aunt said, "I saw them, but I thought the streets were still decorated from Christmas."
Fire Chief was made for instant pickup, thrilling speed and power.
Yes.
That's the kind of action fire engines, emergency vehicles of all types must have.
Think of that, Graham. Oh, I don't say that that gasoline isn't powerful.
Yes, it is.
Quite the contrary.
Oh.
Quite the contrary, Graham. I know that's powerful gasoline.
Sure is.
Well, I'll show you how powerful it is. This is so silly, I don't even want to say it.
Well, tell me about it. Go on.
Well, the Texas company gave me a present last Saturday of $200.
They did?
Yes, they must have soaked the $200 in Fire Chief gasoline. Because I never saw anything go so fast in all my life. You know, tonight, Graham...
Stop at the red Texaco pump for a tank full of Fire Chief.
Oh.
Fire Chief costs no more than ordinary gasoline.
I'll find a way to stop.
But in extra power, extra speed, greater economy, boy, what a difference.
What's that?
Fire Chief gasoline.
What?
I'll write you a letter about it.
You'll get the tickets for mentioning Fire Chief gasoline on this program.
Yes.
You should mention our product, whatever it is.
I don't know. Fire Chief gasoline.
Do you mean to say that that's what we're selling?
Get back to work, will you?
Fire Chief gasoline?
Yeah.
That's the first time I've known it. I've been here 3 years. Isn't this a chewing gum program?
I've got
nothing against the gasoline. I honestly haven't.
That's good.
But presently, I'll stick to my horse.
Oh, that's
my aunt loves horses, Graham.
She does?
Oh, she loves horse racing. She goes with me to all the races.
Is that so?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Last week, she went to the doctor. She didn't feel well, you know.
Uh-huh.
The doctor examined her. He says, "You're all right, madam."
Yeah.
"But there's something wrong with your system."
Is that your aunt?
My aunt said, "You're nuts. My system's all right. I picked 3 winners yesterday."
I'll say it. All right.
Chief.
Here's something interesting.
That is a great piece of music.
Oh, lovely.
Chief, I certainly like the title of your play tonight.
Oh, it's great.
A Wife in Every Port.
That's the name. A Wife in Every Port. It's wonderful.
The chief hasn't got a hero.
Oh, Graham, what a hero in my opera.
Yes?
Why, the hero's feet are so big that he has to put his pants on over his head, Graham. My goodness, what a hero. He's so bald-headed, Graham. That one day in the restaurant, his head was all cut up.
How's that?
Well, the cook mistook his head for a honeydew melon. You know what I mean? But, Graham, he's a wonderful hero.
Yes.
He's a breezy chap. Everybody gives him the air. You know, Graham? And people are always talking behind his back.
How's that?
Well, they yell, stop thief. You see? Look, Graham, he's a crook.
Yes.
He's a crook.
He is.
What a crook he is.
That's bad.
He was arrested once for stealing $800,000. And the judge said to him, he said, why did you steal that $800,000?
Bloody thing.
He said, well, Judge, I was hungry. Listen, now they take him to prison. You see?
Yes.
They give him 30 years. But under the present laws, that means he gets out in about 3 months, you see? So they take him to prison, and the warden said, what kind of work do you want to do while you're in jail?
What is his answer?
The hero said, I'd like to start a filing system.
I like that one.
He said, what book? He said, what book would you like to read while you're in jail? He said, I'd like to read The Life of Houdini. Now, listen, Graham. The hero gets out of jail, you know.
Yes.
And he goes home, and it's his birthday.
Uh-huh.
But he gives his brother a black eye.
How's
that? Well, his brother didn't know that the hero just got out of jail.
Uh-huh.
And when he found out it was his birthday, he was retained. See what he
did?
So the father, their father, Graham, that is the hero's father, he was a great lover of art.
Yes.
He loved oil painting.
Uh-huh.
He even had pictures on the bathroom ceiling, Graham.
What for?
Well, I don't know. He wanted to look at them when he was gargling. But anyhow, wait a minute. You'll find out that the devil is in me tonight, Graham. Absolutely. Anyhow, the father used to call the hero when he was a little boy. He used to call him his little Welsh rabbit.
Yeah, that's a nice name.
I don't know why, because the boy wasn't Welsh, nor was there anything about him like a rabbit. He was just a piece of cheese, you know. But at the finish of the first act, it's really very pathetic, Graham.
How's that?
Well, the father, you know, the father's business, he was a weather forecaster on a newspaper.
Yes.
And he passes away.
Oh.
And what do you think the son puts on his father, who was the weather forecaster? What do you think he puts on a tombstone?
What was the epitaph?
It said doubtful, probably warmer. Mountains.
Yes.
And she spends all her time in that famous Valley of the Echoes.
Yeah.
That's where she spends all the time. She keeps hollering, "I love you," the old maid hollers.
Yes.
"I love you." And every time the echo comes back, she blushes. So, Graham, she goes to Italy. When she gets to Italy, she meets a doctor. She looked at the doctor. She says, "I oversaw the Italian doctors wore beards."
What do you say to that?
He says, "Well, I can't take it on the chin." She says, "Well, while traveling in Italy, doctor, tell me, did you ever touch Florence?" And he says, "No, I never took money from any Italian woman." He says, "Wait a minute, Grant."
Yeah.
She says, "Well, doctor," she kind of likes him, you see. She thinks maybe she can hook this guy, eh? She says, "Doctor, I feel ill." He says, "Well, tight clothing stops circulation."
What did she say?
He says, "You're crazy. A woman in tight clothing is always in circulation." Now, Graham,
go ahead.
This makes them sweethearts, you see. So she says, "Doctor, is it possible to get James from kissing?"
Uh-huh.
He says, "I'll say it is. That's how I got you." He says, so the next day she says, "Doctor, I had my hair bobbed very short." The doctor says, "So I see you don't look like an old lady anymore." She says, "Don't I, darling?"
What do you say?
He says, "No, you look more like an old man." Did you get that, man?
Yeah, I got it.
To me, that was so subtle, you know.
Yeah, very subtle.
So she says, and at the finish, Graham, at the finish of the second act, she gets mad, you see. That's a woman's prerogative, you see. And she says, she gets mad at that nasty remark.
Yeah.
She says, "I feel like shooting you for that." What do you think he says?
What's the answer?
He says, "You can't shoot me without a hunting license. I'm an elk." Woman, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever she wants anything, she kisses her husband on the top of his head.
Yeah. How's that?
Well, she knows that's his weak spot, you see. Wait a minute. She says, "I've just been bargain hunting." He says, "Oh, he's a nasty character."
Yeah, he is.
He says, "Oh, trying to get something for nothing, eh?" She says, "Yes, I wanted to get a present for you." What a comeback. Now, wait a minute, Ben.
Go ahead.
Now, Graham, they both have gotten so fat, you know, their stomachs are way out.
Yes.
Why, it's terrible. So he tries to kiss her, but he can't. And he says, "It's no use, dear. Every day we're growing further apart." So she says, "Well, listen, dear. I think this is lovely, Graham." She says, "How about a friendly game of cards?" He says, "No, I'd rather play bridge," he says. There's no sense in any of this, you know.
Not a bit.
So the next day is just typical of the season.
Yes.
The wife starts her spring cleaning.
Yes.
And you can't see her husband for dust. Well, in fact, he went up in the air about it. He went right up in the air about it.
What
he
happened?
Slipped on a cake of soap, you know. See, that's how that's easy. But look, he says spring is here. You know, he's talking to his wife. It's an unusual married couple. He says to his wife, "Dear, he says spring is here. I itch to get out."
Yeah.
And she says, "Well, you better keep them on a little longer, even if you do have to scratch." You have to admit that one is tough, though.
Yeah.
So they go for a walk. While they're walking, you know,
she says to her husband, she says, did you see me exchange looks with that blonde?
What'd he say?
He looks at the blonde, he says, no, but I wish you could. So that settles it, and they get a divorce.
Well, that's all very lovely, Chief. Yeah. But where is the title, A Wife in Every Port?
That's the title.
Yes.
Oh, where does it come in?
Yes.
I'll tell you, Graham. After the divorce, he married four times in 1 year.
Uh-huh.
He married a lady swimmer, a lady tennis player, a lady boxer, and a lady golfer.
Yes.
That's where the title comes in. He has a wife in every sport.
Make no mistake, your government knows gasoline. Every year, millions of gallons go into tanks of government ambulances and fire engines. How is this gasoline bought? On specifications. Known technically as DVM-571, these specifications call for a superior type of gasoline, a motor fuel suitable for emergency use. Now, here's the point. The Texaco Fire Chief gasoline that you buy at every Texaco pump is that same type of fuel. It meets the special requirements that the government sets up for emergency use. That's why you get more power and speed, faster pickup, more for your money. Throughout the nation, Texaco Fire Chief sells at the price of ordinary gasoline. Remember, when you buy Fire Chief, you're buying just as scientifically as the United States government itself. Take the guess out of gasoline. Start using Fire Chief tomorrow. Yes, that's Eddie Duchin at the piano, in his inimitable musical style, Solitude.
That guy.
Go on. Here's one from
Chief.
Yes, Graham?
Here's one from Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson? I've been there, Graham.
Dear Fire Chief.
Oh.
Last night while I was sleeping, my wife shaved off my mustache. What do you think of that? Signed, Mortified.
Oh, my. Dear Mortified, it's the condition that exists in all over the world right now. The mere fact that your mustache was shaved off while you were sleeping proves that nobody can tell what's going on right under their own noses.
Thank you, Will. Here's one from Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago?
Chicago.
Oh, I paid a bit.
Dear Fire Chief.
What?
Dear Fire Chief.
Yeah?
I'm a blonde chorus girl. In my spare time, I do crossword puzzles. I'm stuck. Can you tell me how I can get luxury with just five letters? Signed, Babe.
Dear Babe, the only way you can get luxury with five letters depends entirely on who the five letters are from.
That's a good one.
I'm wrong. I'm the devil.
Here's one from Bell Harbor, New York.
Bell Harbor?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's safe. Dear Fire Chief, my ambition is to become a sculptor. As you know everything, can you tell me how to make a statue out of marble? Signed, Carving Out a Career.
Dear Chiseler, I don't know what to say about it. It is very simple to be a sculptor. To make a statue, you just take a plain block of marble, and then you knock off all the marble that you don't want.
That's all you do.
Oh, yes.
Here's one from Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where Eddie Duchin is playing at the Hippodrome.
Yeah, that's the place.
Oh,
yeah.
All this week, aren't you, Eddie? I'm coming down tomorrow.
Dear Fire Chief, women puzzle me when I walk along the street.
Oh.
Can you give me any advice that will really inform me about women? Signed, Bachelor.
What a question.
Yeah.
Dear Bachelor, I know more about women than anybody. I say that, you know.
You do?
I'll explain women. If a woman looks young, she's old.
Yeah.
If she looks old, she's young. If she looks back, follow her.
Fire Chief programs are made possible each week by your neighborhood Texaco dealer. He's always ready to serve you, eager to help you get the most enjoyment from your driving. Stop in for Texaco Fire Chief where you see the familiar Texaco Red Star with the green T. Take the guess out of gasoline. And for a smoother, sweeter running engine, use Texaco crack-proof motor oil. Louis A. Witten speaking for the Texas Company. Invite you to tune in again next Tuesday for another Fire Chief program. And remember, whenever you hear the siren bell, think of Texaco.
The National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have an Ed Wynn show from 1945, when his sponsor was Borden's Milk, and it includes a comedy sketch with Elsie the cow and her family at home. This is during World War II, when food was rationed and the country was tired from a long effort toward victory. Ed Wynn's verbal vaudeville routines will have you laughing all the way through this show. Enjoy Ed Wynn's Happy Island, first broadcast February 2nd, 1945 on ABC.
Borden Company presents the Ed Wynn Show with Elsie the Cow, Jerry Wayne, Mark Warner's Orchestra, yours truly, Paul Douglas, and starring Ed Wynn as Bubba.
Thank you so very much. Hello, everybody, and say, Paul.
Yes, Bubba.
I don't know if you've noticed it, but the newspapers lately have been so full of crime news.
Well.
Yeah, for instance, I just read about a woman who was arrested for bigamy.
Bigamy, huh?
Bigamy, yes.
Yes, bigamy. Bigger both of us, that's all right.
I got to tell the face joke, you know. Now you got me all balled up. But anyhow, look, this woman was arrested for bigamy. It seems she married a short little fella who was classified 1A.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week later, you know what she did?
What?
She married a big, tall, 6-foot stretch. who was classified 2A.
Well, what happened?
Well, they made her give up her 1A midget, but she refused to give up her 2A stretch.
I see.
Oh, that's something. I've got some much worse than that. You wait and see.
Bubbles, you're really up on the crime news, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Say, Paul, did you read about that girl who stole an automobile? She stole an automobile?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. The only clue the police have is that she is a brunette. And that she dyed her hair red and bleached her hair blonde.
You say she stole an automobile?
Yes, and when the police sent out the alarm, you know what they said?
What?
They said, be on the lookout for a woman with a convertible top.
I see.
Oh, that's the whole thing.
That sounds like a really interesting case.
Oh, that's not nearly so. Listen to this one.
Yeah?
Where did I tell you this one? A man right here in New York. Paul,
yes?
Are you listening?
Oh, carefully.
He broke into a pawn shop and stole a pair of binoculars. He said he wanted to watch some girls across the street sunbathing.
Well, why should a guy want to watch a girl sunbathing?
Someday I must have a talk with this boy. But now, here's
the case. Wait a second, Bubbles. Tell me, why this sudden interest in crime news?
Why?
Yes, why?
Well, what do you mean? Didn't I tell you I applied for a job as warden of the new state prison?
No, you didn't tell me.
Oh, after all, I'm an expert on everything.
But you, a warden, Bubbles. Yes. Oh, well, you couldn't. That's the silliest thing.
There's somebody at the door. Come in.
Well, how do you do, Bubbles? I am State Senator McGarrett. Yes, sir, I have your application for the job of warden of state prison.
Did you say anything? Yes, and I'll make good for you, Senator, too. I really will. I will follow in the footsteps of such great crime experts as Sherlock Holmes, Philo Vance, Bulldog Drummond, and Sam Swinghopper.
Well, who is Sam Swinghopper?
My butcher.
What? Now, wait a minute, Bubbles. What does your butcher know about the inside of a prison?
Where do you think he is now, in a Taker's bath or something? I had Sam Swinghopper arrested myself only yesterday. He stole me a pound of horse meat.
Well, what makes you think it was horse meat?
Oh, that's the funniest thing. I knew it was horse meat. Because after I ate it, I spent the rest of the day rubbing my nose against a mounted policeman's sleeve, you know.
Well, Bubbles, I must warn you. I've got to warn you that this job as warden is very dangerous.
It is.
Yes, but report for duty next Monday.
All right.
Oh, by the way, I trust you haven't got a prison record.
Well, I was arrested once, you know.
Yes, were you ever indicted?
Please. I haven't worn those things since I was a baby. Goodbye, Senator McGarrett, and thanks very much.
Hey, Bubbles, I didn't know you were ever arrested.
Oh, but nothing serious, Paul.
Really?
I once went to a burlesque show and the police raided the place. All of us were taken to the police station, but later we were all released, including the 10 chorus girls.
Well, why did they let the 10 chorus girls go?
They had nothing on them. Now, Paul, let me get busy and start packing.
Okay.
I'll get my maid. Mercedes? Mercedes, where is that maid of mine?
All right, stop hollering, Bob.
Oh.
Here I am.
Well, now tell me, Mercedes, where have you been?
What to tell?
Well, I don't know. I just asked you.
I was in the kitchen listening to the Lone Ranger.
Is he on the air now?
No, he's in the kitchen.
The Lone Ranger is in the kitchen?
Yeah.
He probably just dropped in to polish his silver. Well, that's good. I just made that up. I'm not 30 years old yet. Well, anyhow, my cities, I just want you to know I've been appointed warden of the state prison.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a coincidence. My boyfriend Harvey is doing a slight 20-year rap in jail.
A slight one?
Yeah. How I love that man.
Well, tell me about him.
What's the tell?
I don't know. I want to hear it. I don't know.
Well, look, I got a letter from him here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they observe the rules of military secrecy where he is.
You don't say.
Yeah, yeah. The letter reads, February 3rd, 1945, somewhere in Sing Sing. Yeah, it says here, dear Mercedes, I've been doing a lot of thinking these past 11 years.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have come to the conclusion that you are the biggest...
Well, go ahead. The biggest what?
Well, I don't know. The next three words were blocked out by the censor.
Oh.
Oh, look, here's a picture of Harvey the day he checked into jail. Ain't he a romantic-looking guy?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Just look at him. Tall, dark, and handcuffed. He ought to transfer over to my present, my cities. I'm going to introduce a lot of modern ideas, you know.
Oh, yes? Tell me about them.
What's to tell? Some wardens preserve discipline by brute force. Some wardens use psychology. But when I take charge of the state prison, I'll surround myself with 500 soldiers.
What kind of warden do you call that?
A Montgomery warden.
We take you now on our weekly visit to the cow family, where we see Elsie the Borden cow, Elmer the bull, and Beulah their little calf in their vine-covered cottage. Beulah is practicing at the piano while her parents listen.
Oh, Beulah, that's terrible. It really is.
I'm sorry, Mommy, but you're always complaining about my dirtying the piano with my hook.
So?
Now I'm playing and only the black keys.
Oh, that's ridiculous, Beulah. Now play that again. Sometimes, Beulah, I think you have absolutely no sense of harmony.
Harmony? What's harmony, Daddy?
Harmony is when a little spotted calf wearing a polka dot dress goes to the zoo to look at the leopard.
Try it again, Beulah. You know, if you don't play it properly next time, Beulah, you're going to be sent to bed without your alfalfa.
I'm trying, honestly, Mommy. I'm trying to play it just like my teacher plays it.
You ought to practice more, Beulah. Look at the way I used to practice, and boy, how I can play now. People can hardly believe it. The other night, they laughed when I sat down at the piano.
Yes, Elmer, but that was because someone had taken the bench away. Once more, Beulah. Better, but much too fast.
Well, I wanted to get through with it before I made a mistake.
Well, I guess Beulah does need practice, because long practice helps anybody do things better. Now, take Borton. They've been in the dairy business a long time now, almost a century. And in that time, they've acquired the know-how that's so important to real quality. Every Borden product is the result of long experience, as well as of intensive research and experimentation. Borden's maintain a fine, up-to-date laboratory where such grand products as Borden's Hemo are studied and perfected before they are even placed on the market. That is why, if it's Borden's, it's got to be good.
Mark Warno and the Borden Orchestra featuring Charlie Margulies in a brilliant interpretation of the toy trumpet. Thank you.
really wonderful.
Oh, that's fine.
Well, Paul, you know, when I become a warden,
yep.
I'm going to teach all my prisoners a useful trade.
Oh, that's fine.
Don't you think that's a good
that
idea?
That is wonderful.
For instance, in one prison out west, I hear that the convicts make ladies' petticoats out of old parachutes.
Well, how do they turn out?
Wonderful. On the bottom of each petticoat, it says, count 10 before taking off.
Oh,
oh, I can't wait to get started on my warden job. Because, I wonder who that can be. Come in.
Hello, Bubbles.
Oh, it's my next-door neighbor, Miss Pringle.
Bubbles,
yeah.
I heard you're taking a job as warden of the state prison.
That's right, yes.
Maybe you'd want me to come along and cook for the boys.
Oh, no, no, I'll do all the cooking that's going to be done. As a matter of fact, I just made out the first week's menu. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I would.
On Monday, I'll make Spanish omelet. Tuesday, Chinese chop suey. Wednesday, we'll have Italian spaghetti. Thursday, French toast. Friday, Greek salad. Saturday, we'll have Hungarian goulash.
And on Sunday?
An American doctor.
Well, Bubbles,
yes.
I'd like to help in some way.
No, no, no.
You know, I'm a school teacher.
Yes.
Maybe the boys would like me to read them quotations from famous authors and poets.
Oh, I love poems. Do you know any quotations of famous...
Yes, I do. I have several favorite ones. Here's one of them. Upon the oven, I would often sit. One day I forgot that it was lit. Burns.
That's very lovely. I know some quotations, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, would you like to hear one?
Yes, I do.
Well, now listen. If little boys want to grow strong and big, they should drink hemo and eat a fig. Newton.
Oh, Bubbles, I like that.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Oh, yes. Here's another one.
Oh, another one.
Uh-huh.
Let me hear it.
When a burglar's in the cellar and a loaded gun he's got, if I go down the cellar, I'm sure I would get shot. You go.
I gotta go her one better. I can't let her get away.
You try.
Here is my favorite poem.
All right.
I like to travel by railroad. To that, I must confess. But instead of taking a local, I always take an express. Twain.
Bubbles.
Oh, now run along, Miss Pringle. And thanks very much for your great help.
You're welcome, Bubbles.
Yeah. That Miss Pringle. She's lovely, but she's getting old. When she winks at me now, she has a lot of trouble opening her eye again. But where was I? Oh, yes, I was starting to pack my things and get ready so that... More company. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Bubbles. I just dropped in to congratulate you on your new job as warden of the state prison. I think it's a keen thing for you to be doing. Frightfully keen. Bully for you, I say bully.
This must have come out from behind the wallpaper. Would you mind telling me where you live?
Oh, you'll make a grand warden. You know, it's a crackerjack opportunity for you to do a bung-up job, and I'm rooting for your success.
Simply rooting.
Rooting.
Look at that guy, 190 pounds of non-essential material. You still have not told me where you live.
Yes, now I have some Jim Dondi ideas on how to run a prison.
Jim Dondi?
Yes, Jim Dondi. They came to me while I was relaxing in my tub this morning.
In your tub?
Yes. Yes, I tub every morning. Don't you tub?
No, no, I haven't got a tub. I think. Yet told me where you live.
Now, about my ideas. Here is just a random thought.
A random
thought? Yes, at random.
Yes.
Now, why don't we supply the prisoners with such magazines as Yachting, House Beautiful, and Hunting and Fishing? And for those men who are serving 99 years, Life.
Personally, I think they would be more interested in liberty. Now, before we go any further, where do you live?
Now, to continue, I have another idea that is simply a pip. Now, I don't approve of prisoners playing such games as
badminton, ping pong, and bean bog.
You don't approve of bean bog?
Not bean bog.
I'd like to play bean bog with his bean. That's what I'd like.
Now, to continue, I recommend a program that'll include rifle practice, pole vaulting, and cross-country hike.
For prisoners?
Yes. Now, isn't that just a perfect Jim Dandy idea of a program? Utterly a pip.
Yes, it's a pitch from a drip. That's what it is. Now, look here, amigo. You came here to tell me how to run a prison. Now, you let me tell you a story.
Oh, bully. Bully.
Well, we'll see. Now, here's the story.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, there was a tiger who was very hungry. And he was looking for a duck in a barnyard, you know. But he could never find him. One day, the duck was hungry, and the duck found a piece of bologna, and the duck ate the whole piece of bologna. And it made him feel so good that he started to quack and make noise, and the tiger hated him. See? And he cracked the duck down, and he gobbled him up. The tiger ate him up. Now, that story has a moral for you, you know.
Well, what is the moral?
Don't open your mouth when you're full of baloney. That's why.
Jerry Wayne, our romantic young baritone, sings Saturday Night is the Loneliest Night of the Week. Jerry?
Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. Cause that's the night that my sweetie and I used to dance cheek to cheek. I don't mind Sunday night at all. Cause that's the night friends come to call. And Monday to Friday go fast. And another week is past. But Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually see. Until I hear you at the door. Until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week. When the phone starts ringing, I just let it ring. I just don't feel like going out or doing anything. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually see. Until I hear you at the door. Until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night in a week.
Going now to the state penitentiary, where we find Bubbles in the warden's office.
Pardon me, sir. Are you the new warden?
Yes, I am. Why?
Oh, I admire your spirit very much, sir.
Yes, I once saw you during a prison riot, and all through it you sat calmly playing a game. Well, I'm a game warden. What's on your mind, young man?
Well, the men are complaining.
They are? Why? Why? Complaining? I don't understand that. They've got hot and cold machine guns in every cell block. I don't know. What are they kicking about?
Not enough hemo.
Oh, no. Oh, I get it now. This is going to be a commercial gab in convict garb or
well,
something.
According to government standards, two glasses of hemo made with milk provide a person's entire daily minimum requirements of vitamins A, B1, B2, D, and niacin.
I didn't know that.
As well as the all-important minerals, iron, calcium, and phosphorus, and...
Yeah?
Well, the men get only one glass a day.
Well, that's a fine way to run a jail.
From now on, they'll get 2 glasses of hemo a day.
Oh, that's mighty white of you. You're suffering from a vitamin deficiency...
Who, me?
Well, as so many people are, hemo is a thing for you. Vitamin deficiencies seldom occur singly.
Oh, I see.
It is a scientific fact that lack of one vitamin in the diet is almost always a sign of the lack of several vitamins.
I see.
That's why Borden's Hemo is such a grand protection against vitamin deficiencies.
Think of that.
Buy Borden's Hemo at your druggist or grocer's.
But don't leave the jail to get it, you know. Tell them that. I'll tell you what, the men can have gallons of Hemo. Give me a jug of it.
Oh, that's wonderful, Warden.
Oh, I'm only doing it for the sponsor, that's all.
One more request.
Yeah.
Can we all have a week off to visit our families?
Oh, positively not. While I'm bought here, Hemo is the only jug I'll permit to be emptied. Hello? State prison. All our guards are Yale men. This is a Bula Bula cooler. That's really what it is.
Hello, hello, Warden Bubbles.
Yes?
This is State Senator McGarrett again.
Yeah, I recognize the voice. Yes.
Yes. Now, Shelby, how many prisoners do you have there?
Exactly 400. Correction Center's at 399. That's what the public really wants today, escapist entertainment. Hello?
Warden, I just want to tip you off. The boys are planning a big riot at 12 o'clock tonight.
Oh, thanks for the warning. Who is this?
A little bird. Tweet, tweet, chirp, chirp.
Must be a stool pigeon. Where are those new guards that I hired? Come in.
New guards reporting, sir.
About time. Name and experience, please.
David Elton, Redcoats, Northwest Mounted Police, 1939.
And you?
Leonard Holton, Bluecoats, New York City Police, 1941.
Glad to meet you. I'm Warden Bubbles, Housecoat, Kimball's Basement, 1898. Now, men, there's one thing that you've got to know. This is a very polite prison. All day long, the prisoners keep saying, pardon me. Now, look here. But tonight, you must be on guard. The prisoners are going to riot at 12 o'clock. Here, take these pistols, and whatever you do, don't drop them.
Why not?
They're liable to break, and the candy will fall out, you see. Dismissed, everybody. It's 10:50. I must talk to the prisoners. I'll switch on the public address system.
Attention, all prisoners. You men who communicate with each other by tapping out messages on the pipes. Remember, there's a war on, and we must do our part to help. Please limit your calls to 5 minutes.
Come in.
Well, how do you do, Warden Bubbles?
Why, it's Jerry Wayne, the famous criminal lawyer. The prisoners are going to riot in exactly 8 minutes. Now, what do you want with me?
Warden, I beg you, release prisoner number 46721. He didn't mean to shoot his grandmother.
No.
And suppose he did forge that check for $2 million.
Yes.
You've got to let him go. You hear me? You've got to let him go. Please, Warden, on bended knees, I implore you. Open your heart and send this boy home to his dear old mother.
You have broken me down. I will let the prisoner go. And here, I'm going to give you your fee, 100 red points.
Well, what's the idea?
Well, I'd have to give 100 red points any place for that much ham. 12:06, I'll take a look into the prison yard to see what's going on.
Hiya, Warden.
That's prisoner 512.
Hiya, Warden.
That's 513.
Hiya, Warden.
That's 514. That's the 515. I wonder what those guys will do to me when they start to riot.
Hey, Warden!
Yes.
Hey, Warden! Killer Joe Spaghetti just escaped.
That name is S-C-I-B-E-T-T-A.
Gabetta.
That's much better. Now, let's start from where you came in again.
Hey, Warden!
Yes.
Warden!
Yes.
Killer Joe Spaghetti just escaped.
I know. A man escapes from this prison every hour on the hour. But I don't care.
Why not?
Well, my clock is broken. That's the only way I can tell the time, you see. 12:04. I'll see what the prison radio has to say.
Greetings, everybody in state prison. I want to say hello to my brother in cell block number 4, and I want to say hello to my cousin in cell number 98, and hello to my dear old father in cell block number 6, and hello to my uncle, my brother-in-law, grandpa, and my 2 nephews in cell block number 12.
And so ends another broadcast of One Man's Family. It is now 12:03. I'd better make a tour of inspection.
Hey, Warden, come here.
Oh, it's the notorious bank robber, Itch Benson.
Warden, how long do you know me?
7 years, Itch.
Warden?
Yeah.
Warden, I want to warn you to get out of here.
Why?
When us boys get the signal, we're going into action.
No kidding.
Nothing could stand in our way. We're going to crash right on through. Nothing's going to stop us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the opinions expressed by this man are identical with those of the Russian army. This prison riot has me worried. Now it's 12:02.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Are you Warden Buddy?
Oh, you gentle soul. Yes, are you a visitor here?
Yes. When will my husband, prisoner number 7352, be released?
7352? Why, he's getting out today.
Oh, at last, after 10 long years. Harry is a good man, and it's my fault that he's here.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It all began with a silly argument. Mm-hmm. He came home one day and didn't hang up his hat.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, one word led to another, and he struck me.
Oh.
I called the police, and they put him behind this box.
Well, now, don't cry. Don't cry, madam. By tonight, he'll be home again, you see.
Oh, dear, dear Harry. Yes. I can picture him arriving home. Yes. He'll open the door, throw his hat on the table, and shake me in his arms.
Beautiful.
I'll say, Harry, hang up your hat. And he'll say, I will later. And I'll say, do it now. And he'll say, don't order me around. And I'll say, you starting that again, you skunk, and he'll hit me. So I'll call the police, and they'll put him in jail. And that's where he belongs, the dirty, no good rat. He can stay here until he croaks.
My goodness. What a character. If she was a man, she'd make some woman a lousy husband. Well, that's the life of a warden for you. People come and people go. There's one that went. I know what this prison needs. War. I wonder what time it is. 12:00.
All right, come on.
My goodness. The riot's begun. God, I'm going out to talk to the men.
Oh, that Warden Bubbles, what courage. Look at him face those prisoners.
Okay, God, it's all settled. Sorry I took so much time.
What happened?
Well, those weren't prisoners trying to escape. They were the men who already escaped, and they want to get back into jail. They've been all over the country in every big city from coast to coast, and now they've come back.
But why should they want to come back to jail?
Well, it's the housing shortage. Not one of them could find a place to live. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just a little bit late, so I'll just say goodnight, everybody. Goodnight.
Be with us again next week at the same time when the Borden Company presents the Ed Wynn Show. This is the Blue Network.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.